Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. I want to read the traditional Christmas story from the book of Luke. And I want to, my premise this morning is a question that I've been posing to you for 2 weeks now. Are you ready for Christmas? And right now, when I said that, people's hearts panicked because some are and some are not. Let's read the Christmas story. We'll talk about it a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds. I'm going beyond what's on the screen, by the way. You know the story. Now they were in the same country, shepherds, living in the fields, watching, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord stood around them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you will be, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege that I have this morning to come and to share for a few moments on this Christmas season, this time. I thank you for these people that are here this morning that have taken a few minutes of this busy season and have come and to listen, Lord, to a message preached about Christmas. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we come this morning. You'd help us to concentrate for a few moments on what you're saying. Speak to our hearts. Let us pay attention to what the Spirit says. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The genesis for this sermon actually dates back to the very beginning of our ministry. Geraldine and I, it was an occasion where we were the church was some distance from where we were living, and there was an older couple who lived. It was Mom and Papa Davis, H.C. and Marie Davis, that lived. I say that because some of the folks over here remember them. And they lived quite a ways from where we were. And one Sunday, we picked up Mama Davis. Papa Davis was sick. He drove until he was nearly 90. But this particular Sunday morning, he was sick, and we picked her up to drive with her. It was about 4 days before Christmas. And she asked me the simple question, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And when you ask that question, doesn't it just send like through you, there is this sense of, it's such a mixture of emotions. On the one hand, there is excitement about presents and gifts and things that you're going to, I mean, man, bicycles and Wii's and what's the latest little thing that they're doing? There we go. I knew they'd know the answer to it. Whether your things is books or ties or socks or motorcycles or, I mean, it just, so there's this sense of receiving. At the same time, there is this, is there not this sense of, what have I forgotten? Does anybody, when you say, "Are you ready for Christmas?" Didn't your mind automatically start to go through and check through the list of what have I forgotten and what do I need to get and what have I not done yet? And then there's this sense of, what do I do now? I mean, what's next? What's left on the agenda? The schedule gets so hectic, so crazy, so busy that you forget what is next and you have so many things to do. I mean, in fact, our TRC calendar, I sent it to you several times. You can see how much is on there. And so the question, "Are you ready for Christmas?" really becomes, well, who is, right? I mean, think about it. Who is ready? And when do you, I mean, is anybody, let me ask, how many of you here this morning would say that you, right now, this morning, on December 19th, are ready for Christmas? All right. My goodness. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All the kids have their hands up, by the way. Did you notice that? Some of them got both hands up. Oh, yeah. I'm ready for Christmas. Thanks, guys. But even some adults, I'm impressed. Aren't you impressed? I'm impressed that some of you are able to raise your hand and say, I'm 6 days before Christmas, I'm ready for Christmas. I mean, if it's 6 hours before and I'm ready, then I've done well, you know? And so how many of you are ready for Christmas except presents? In other words, you've got everything else done. You've gotten all of the preparations, all the schedule. It's just presents that I have yet to get. Except for that, I would be ready for Christmas. How many of you? What do you think? Okay. About, you know, another third or so. How many of you are not going to be ready for Christmas even when it gets here? Yeah, that's the real question. But isn't that the question? I mean, even back to Christ Day, even back to when Christ was born on that day, can you imagine, and I want you to walk with me through for a moment, about the guys, the people, the women, the men who experienced the first Christmas. And imagine what it would have been like to have been ready, to have been ready for that Christmas. I mean, think about it for a moment. It's unannounced. It isn't, you know, there are no invitations, there are no calendars, there's no emails, there's no billboard, there are no songs. You don't know that Christmas is coming because every single radio station in town is playing Christmas music, right? It just happened. Christmas just came upon them. And the question, who was ready? I mean, think about it. Were any of them ready for Christmas? Was anybody ready for Christmas? I mean, in fact, think about it. Think about it for a minute. Think about the shepherds. Some of you guys, who were, we had some shepherds. Who were the shepherds? Let me see your hands. Okay, here's a shepherd. I got three shepherds here. Let me ask you guys, Keon, Ezra, let me ask you, what would it have been like to have been sleeping in the middle of the field? Of course, both of you probably right there say, well, wait a minute, we ain't doing that. We're not sleeping out at night, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, angels. I'm talking about bunches of angels. The whole sky is full of angels. What would you have done? What would you have done? Yeah. Scared, absolutely scared. I expect him to say, I'd have run, you know. Because I would. I mean, think about it for a minute. Imagine for a minute. We read the story a minute ago. These guys, think about it. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're just going through, doing the things. In fact, the number one thing on these guys' minds this night was a good night's sleep. They weren't expecting angels in stereo. Boom, you know. They weren't anticipating that at all. Here's these guys. They just want a good night's sleep. They just want to get through the day. And angels show up. And it's not just any angels. I mean bunches of angels. And their sound begins to reverberate all through the land. And they're talking, man, they're talking all kinds of stuff. They're not just singing. They're glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This one particular angel, he steps out to the front. He says, guys, I got something to tell you. Something incredible's going on. Something phenomenal is happening right now down in the city of Bethlehem, just a little bit ways. Do you see over the hill? Look, do you see where the lights are down there? Just over the hill down there, a king is being born. He is a king that will change everything. Nothing will be, because he has been born from this day forward, the world will never be the same again. And he's being born right down there. And I want you to know that he's been born. And I've come to tell you that. And listen, you're not going to find him where you think you would. You don't go when you go down there. I know when we finish here. I mean, when the concert's over, I know what you're doing. You're going to run down there and try to find it. But don't go to the normal places. Don't go to the palace. Don't go to the Hilton. Don't go to the best restaurants or to the best motels. You go and find there's this inn down there, and behind the inn is a stable. And you will find the king of the universe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now let me ask you, who would be ready for that? Nobody would be ready for that. Nobody would have any idea what to do with that. No clue what to do with that. How would anybody be ready for that? Think about some of the other characters. Think about the wise men for a minute. We didn't read that story, and I'm not going to this morning, but I'll just kind of rehearse it to you. Remember the wise men? The wise men, while the shepherds were just busy doing their job, the wise men were completely disinterested. Completely disinterested. They were, what, the wise men, you understand that the wise men, where are my wise men this morning? Let me see my wise men. Here's one. These three are my wise men and wise woman. All right? Is that good? You understand the wise men, listen guys, the wise men were not just a little ways away. The wise men were in another country. Do you know how far they walked, how long they walked? A lot of people that teach the Bible, Michaela said they walked for 2 years. For 2 years. As much as 2 years to find Jesus, the Christ child. You didn't know that, did you? That part of the Christmas story actually may not have transpired. We don't know for sure, but if you go back and you study it, it looks like they may have traveled for 2 years. But think about this for a moment. We're not told how they found out. We're not told exactly why they knew. They saw a star. They knew as they looked at the star, they realized something was different. They knew that something in their heart. God showed up in some kind of way, and something in their heart said something was different. Something in their heart said something. And so what they did is they stopped everything, and they started on a journey. And all they were doing was following the star. Now, if it were you, think about it for a minute. If it were you, how long would you have followed the star? A day, maybe? 3 days? A week? You know, after about a week, I don't know about you, but let's just be honest, Bobby. After about a week, it'd be like, you know what? I think I've missed God here, right? You know? But for as much as 2 years, according to some biblical scholars, they may have followed the star. And as they follow the star, and then the star stops. And you talk about a happy day. Oh, happy day, you know, when the star finally stopped. They come bearing their gifts, and there he is, star shining. And they find him, a little baby in a manger. Who would have been ready for that? Nobody would have been ready for that. Think about some of the other people in the Bible story. Think about the innkeeper. Think about the innkeeper and think of the innkeeper. Now remember what it's like in Bethlehem. Everybody has been told to leave their home and go to another city to be registered, and at that time of registering, there would be a tax. That's the reason, by the way, the Bible gives us two different ideas. One is registered, one is taxed. It's because both activities usually were taking place. They would register their family and pay their tax. Whose idea was that, by the way? You know? I mean, everybody leave their home and go to a different city. I mean, it's, you know. And so everybody was looking for a room. Everybody was looking for a room. And everybody was looking for a place to stay. And so every single room was taken. I'm talking about from the Garden Inns unto the Days Inn, and everything in between was absolutely full. There was no place to stay. There was no place for anybody to stay. And think about the innkeeper. Think about this poor guy, right? Now we're hard on this guy, but think if you were him. Every room's full. You've converted closets to rooms. I mean, people are knocking on your door. They're constantly knocking on your door, and do you have a room? No, I don't have a room. And several things are going on in his mind. One is he knows he can't accommodate. He couldn't put anybody else anywhere. Another thing probably going on is, man, if I just had some more room, look what money that I could make tonight, you know. And all of this is going through his mind. And somebody shows up at the door. Did we have an innkeeper, Danielle? Did we have an innkeeper in the... Okay. Somebody shows up at the door and knocks on his door yet again. And remember, this is about the 900th knock that he's had that night. And he looks out the door, and it's a man and a lady who is very pregnant. Okay? You get the picture here? I mean, she's very pregnant, right? And they ask for a room. And he says, I'm sorry, I do not have a room. I have nothing. I have nothing. I have nowhere. And he says, the only thing I have is out back, there's a stable where I'm keeping my donkeys, and you can stay out there. Now, I'm sorry, pause for a minute. I want to think. Don't you want to think? What was he thinking, right? A very pregnant woman in the stable? Are you kidding me? Give up your room, man. Do something here. What was he thinking? But who would have been prepared for that? Who would have been ready for that? Who would have Who knew, right? I mean, who knew? He's inside counting his shekels, right? And the king of the universe is being born in his barn. Who would have been ready for that? Who would have been prepared for that? Who could have predicted it? Who could have known? Who could have had any idea that it was coming, that was about what was about to happen was about to happen? Think through for a minute. Think of the Romans. Let me just mention a few more. Think of the Romans. The Romans, you know what the Romans were doing? The Romans just had they just were doing their own thing, right? The Romans were, conquering the world. That's what the Romans were doing. They were ruling the world. They had kingdoms and fiefdoms, and I mean, they had wars going on, and they were going about their wars, and they were conquering the world, and they were taxing people and ruling and raising up governors and setting peoples and rulers and governors in places. And man, they were just doing their own thing. Jesus came, and the Roman world barely even noticed. But who would have? I mean, think about it. If you're the Roman, how much different than the Romans are we? I mean, think about it, going about and doing your own thing and just rushing around, and how easy it is to get busy and get to going and doing your own thing and not see the important thing, not see the thing that matters. It's easier than you think. Can I tell on myself for a minute? Is this okay? Can I tell on myself for a minute? Yesterday, right? Yesterday, I go down to Walmart, and I have two things that I have to do. Jerilyn gives me a short list of stuff. Three things of orange juice, because we've got to get it through the whole week. 18 eggs, because she's got to make a pound cake and several other things. And a gallon of milk. That's what I got to get. And the other thing is, I've got to pick up some gift cards for some folks. And so I got two things that I have to do. I go down there, I get my orange juice, I get my milk, I get my eggs, and I go and I find the customer service line, you know, where you buy the gift cards. And so I go up and you know, I go through the line, I tell the lady I need this many gift cards and this is how much each of them needs to be and so forth. And about that time, a guy walks up who is a friend of mine from 25 years ago, and we start talking. He's actually pastoring now, and we start talking about how amazing that is that he's pastoring and I'm pastoring. It may not amaze you, but it still amazes us sometimes. So we're talking and so forth. The lady says, sir, and she, you know, she taps me, I've got your cards ready, and I get the cards. And so, you know, I'm gone. I'm out of Walmart, you know, and I'm headed home. And I get home, and the groceries are not in bags. And I'm thinking, why aren't the groceries in bags? I didn't pay for them. I walked out without paying for the groceries. Do what? Oh, yeah, not, yeah, did you? Hey, you think you need a coupon, man? I got one better than that. I walked in the house with a jug of orange juice and a gallon of milk, and I said, I think I just stole this stuff. You know? And I said, and honestly, we were trying to get ready, and I told Geraldine and the girls, I said, I am not going back today. I'll go back Monday and pay for this stuff. I'm just too busy. There's too much to do. And Geraldine said, you're on camera. I said, you're right. And so I get in the truck and I go back to Walmart. Now you talk about embarrassing, right? And what I want, all I want is to be able to just whisper to the lady, I left without paying the groceries. And I just need to go in and pay for them. And that's all I need, right? And so I walk up, and the first thing the lady says is, where's your receipt? And I said, I'm in a predicament. If I had a receipt, I wouldn't be back here. Because if I had a receipt, I would have paid for them. You didn't pay for the groceries? I mean, it just echoes. You know, have you ever wanted something to be, and it just echoes? I mean, it's like it's the Grand Canyon. And then she bust out laughing. I mean, just bust out laughing. And two or three others start laughing, and it's just a scene at Walmart. And finally she says, well, just go get in line and pay for the groceries this time. And what's the point? Isn't it easy to just be doing your own thing and just, you know. That was the Romans. They were just doing their own thing, you know. And so how could they have been prepared for that? Think of the religious Jews. Jesus' own people. You know what their deal was? My goodness, they had been taught. Think about this. They had been taught for 600 years. They had been taught for 600 years what it was going to be like when the Messiah came. It wasn't that they were unprepared, it's that they were ill-prepared. They had their idea of how he was going to come. They had their idea of how he was going to show up. They had their idea of what was supposed to happen and what it was supposed to look like. They had their idea of, man, the way the world was going to be when the Messiah came, the difference that it was going to make. They had their idea. And I think they may be the saddest of all, because they were so expecting, but they were expecting for God to show up like he, down to the very detail, like they thought it should be and like they thought it should fall out. And figure out and come about. Think about Joseph. Wouldn't you have hated to have been Joseph? I mean, on the one hand, you know, the father of, like, God. On the other hand, you're the father of, like, God. Who would have been ready for that? You remember, don't you? I mean, Joseph, think about it. Joseph had an idea. He had his life plan. He had an idea of what ought to happen here. He's going to marry Mary. They're going to get married. They're going to, they're going to honeymoon for a while, and they're just going to enjoy each other's company for two or three or maybe 4 years. And then, then they'll be ready after they've had that time with each other. They'll be ready to have some children and so forth. And an angel shows up, right? An angel shows up and tells him, Joseph, sit down. Right? Sit down. I got something to share with you. Mary is already pregnant. Wow. Who'd have been ready for that? But wait a minute, Joseph, there's more to it than that. She is with child from God. That the Holy Spirit has come upon her and has, from a virgin birth, Joseph, she has not known another man. She has not been unfaithful to you. But from a miraculous way, God has brought life, abundant life, which will be eternal life into Mary. And Joseph, this is going to test your character. It's going to test who you are. It's going to test your faith. Do the right thing. Do the right thing, Joseph. And he turns and walks out of the room, through the wall nonetheless. Who would have been ready for that, right? Who would have been prepared for that? Or Mary, let me just one more. Now, one more. Mary, could you imagine being ready? I mean, if anybody needed to be ready, it was Mary needed to be ready. But you know what Mary's doing? When the angel shows up to Mary, Mary is just, you know what? She is a bride-to-be. She is exhausted. She's just tired. All of the plans, all of the underworkings, all of the things that had to be put together, they're coming, the period where they are betrothed, they are promised to each other, is coming to an end, the wedding is coming soon, it's about to come, and Mary is just tired, and you know, she's just looking forward to her day, of her wedding day, where she and Joseph will be joined together. She's found the perfect man, it's the perfect situation, everything that mom and dad wanted, here it is, and it's all worked out, and the angel shows up and says, Mary, first of all, I want you to know, God loves you, and he thinks highly of you. That's the first thing he said. Mary, how blessed you are. How blessed you are. He was telling her, God thinks highly of you. And Mary, I want you to know your plans are not going to change, but nothing will ever be the same again. Nothing. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he has overshadowed you. And the thing which has been birthed inside of you is the Son of God. Who would have been ready for that? Who would have been prepared for that? You remember the story, you know what Joseph and Mary do. Joseph comes and he takes her and he will not put her away privately as he was thinking he might do. He won't put her away privately. Instead, he will embrace her, and he will love her, and he will marry her, and he will provide a covering He will provide a public covering for her. And Mary, remember Mary's response. Mary says, "Be it unto me according to your word." Lord, as you say, as you desire, as you want to happen, Lord, that's what I want to have happen, Lord. Now stop and think about that a minute. Does it not flabbergast you? Because it does me. You think about all of these people. What was the difference? I mean, you've got an innkeeper who he just misses the whole thing. You've got shepherds that are out in the field and they get it. You've got wise men that are way over yonder and they see and they follow. And yet, at the same time, you've got Romans who are right there and they can't see it. You've got religious leaders who are prepared and it comes and they're blinded to it. You've got Joseph who has the plan for his life and Mary who has the plan for their lives going in their directions. And yet, God does something totally different and they get it. What was the difference? What's the difference? The main point of this morning's message is this: to be ready for Christmas, you have to pay attention when God shows up. That's, you understand this? That is the only way to be ready for Christmas, is to pay attention when God shows up. Because you see, God's going to show up in different ways to different people. He's going to say, he didn't say the same thing to Joseph that he said to the innkeeper, or the same thing to the shepherds that he said to the wise men. But what he did in all of these cases is God showed up. And the difference was that it wasn't, and can I let you just breathe a little bit this morning? It's not that some were so busy and others weren't. Can I just let you offer that guilt trip? Listen, busyness is part of life. Business comes through life. The nature of life many times is business. So can I let you off that guilt trip? It's not that, oh, you're too busy, although you may be too busy, but that ain't the point. The point is, do you pay attention when God shows up? Because Mary was just as busy as the innkeeper, but Mary paid attention when God showed up. Joseph was just as busy as the Roman soldiers, but Joseph paid attention when God showed up. The wise men were just as busy as the Jewish leaders were, but they paid attention when God showed up. If you're going to be ready for Christmas, you simply must pay attention when God shows up. How do you get ready for Christmas? Oh, I'm sure that this morning you've got all kind of plans. You've got all kind of things that you need to do and you want to do and you wish you could do. And there's all kinds of stuff that still have yet to be done. But can I tell you what will make the difference this Christmas season? It won't be that you've got every present for the right person at the right bargain or with the right coupon. It will be when God shows up, do you stop and pay attention? It won't be that, oh, you've had the perfect feast and the turkey turns out absolutely perfectly, and that's a miracle when that happens, right? And the dressing is just right, and the giblet gravy that goes with it, and the peas and beans and the cornbread and the, are you hungry yet? And man, the meal's perfect, and everybody sits down and enjoys themselves, and then pumpkin pie and red velvet cake, and the difference will be when God shows up and whispers in the middle of that, will you pay attention? Because you see, that's not only is that the only way to live Christmas, that's the only way to live life. I mean, think about it for a moment. What this is saying this morning, it doesn't matter if you're busy like the shepherds. If you pay attention when God shows up, you'll be ready for Christmas. It doesn't matter if you're uninterested like the wise men, but you must pay attention when God shows up. It doesn't matter if you have other plans like Joseph, but you must pay attention when God shows up. And it doesn't matter if you're unprepared like Mary, but you must pay attention when God shows up. Unlike the innkeeper, if you're distracted, you must pay attention when God shows up. Unlike the Romans, who had their own thing going, they were doing their own thing, and so maybe many of you are just like that this morning. Maybe you just have your own thing going on. Well, unlike the Romans, when God shows up, you must pay attention. And unlike the religious leaders, who had their own idea of how God should come. When God comes and he does something different than what you were anticipating, you must pay attention to what God is saying. And if you think about it for a moment, isn't this the reason Christ came? Isn't that part of the reason Jesus came? Part of the reason Jesus came is because people weren't paying attention. I mean, he had, oh my goodness, look back at the Old Testament and look at all that God did to try to get their attention. I mean, there's some phenomenal things there, but there came a period where for hundreds of years when nobody was paying attention, and so Jesus showed up so that people would pay attention. I mean, think about it for a moment. The ones who experienced God in their life, the ones like Mary Magdalene and the disciples, the blind beggar, the woman with the issue of blood, Zacchaeus, what set them apart? What made them different? What made them different is that they paid attention when God showed up. Today, that is still the difference in whether you're ready for Christmas or whether you're ready for life. Because here's what I know. God is going to come and God is going to show up. I promise you, God is going to come, God is going to show up. And when God speaks an encouraging word to you, pay attention. When God wakes you in the middle of the night to pray, pay attention. When God sends a correcting word from his pulpit, pay attention. When God calms your presence, you with his presence, pay attention. When God sends a friend or a mentor into your life to speak wisdom, pay attention. What difference does it make? I mean, what difference does it make? Think with me for a moment. And I'm bringing this to a close, I promise you. Think with me for a moment. What difference it would make in your life if you paid attention. Think of the busyness of your life. If there's not much you can do about the busyness, but think in the middle of that business, if you pay attention when God sends that person or that word or that song or that thought or that scripture or that compelling of the Holy Spirit, if you paid attention to it, think of the difference that it would make in your life. When you're overwhelmed, think of the difference it would make. When you are totally and completely overwhelmed, the difference it would make for God to speak his voice and you to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. Nothing else matters more than this. I'm going to pay attention. Think about when you've got everything set and planned and ready. If God shows up and says, I'm going to do a different thing, a different plan, something incredibly better, something phenomenal in your life, pay attention. Say, let it be to me, Lord, according to your word, according to what you desire. See, this Christmas season, beyond this Christmas season, we must live our lives in a way where we are paying attention when God shows up. Amen? Amen. That's what makes the difference in Christmas. That's what makes the difference in life, is are you paying attention? Think about it. Think what a difference it'll make in your office if you pay attention when God shows up. Think what a difference it'll make in your career if you pay attention when God shows up. What a difference will it make, Virginia, in your neighborhood if you pay attention when God shows up? Yeah? Christian, what a difference it'll make if you pay attention when God shows up at Wilson Eye Center. Teachers that are here, public figures that are here, if you pay attention when God shows up, think how it'll change everything. Wow. Think what a difference it'll make in your relationships if you pay attention when God shows up. Some of those relationships, no doubt you'll realize when God shows up, you'll realize, you know what, this is not a relationship I need. Other times, you'll realize, wow, thank you, God, for putting your blessing on this relationship, this friendship, this mentorship, whatever it may be. Pay attention. Think what a difference it'll make if husbands, wives, if you pay attention when God shows up in your marriage. Wow. Teens that are here, think what a difference it'll make if you pay attention when God shows up. Directs your life, gives you a promise, tells you I'm going to do something different than you thought, but oh, it's going to be incredible. Just trust me. Pay attention when God shows up. Think what a difference it'll make in your prayer life if you pay attention when God shows up. What a difference it'll make in your word life if you pay attention when God shows up. What a difference it'll make in your ministry. Think what a difference it'll make in this church. Amen? If we pay attention when God shows up. Because really, the key to being ready for Christmas is the key to life. We got to pay attention when God shows up. So I want to challenge you to do something right now this morning. I want to challenge you this morning to pay attention when God shows up. Will every head bow? Will every eye close this morning? I have to take a moment and do this because it is very clear to me that there's some individuals that are here this morning. You're not here by accident. God has showed up in your life. You may have been sitting here this morning and realized right off the bat, Pastor, I'm really not ready for Christmas at all. Because I don't get this Jesus thing. I just don't embrace it. Or maybe you get it, but you just haven't accepted it. You're not living it. You know you are not in a relationship with Jesus. What does that mean, being in a relationship with Jesus? Well, where you know Him and you've given your life to Him, where you've said, Lord, you know, I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I want to live it for You. So I got to pause this morning and give you an opportunity to respond to that and ask you a question. Are you paying attention? Because you're not here by accident this morning. He has you here on a purpose for a reason. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder this morning if you would just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I know that I'm not ready for Christmas because I haven't surrendered. I haven't given myself to Christ. Will you raise your hand this morning? Pastor, I know. I'm paying attention. Can I tell you something? That tugging in your heart right now, that wrestling in your heart right now, that's Jesus. You know what He's saying to you? He's saying, pay attention. I want to do something incredible in your life. You say, Pastor, that scares me. I understand that. Can I tell you, you're not going to figure it all out, but it begins with a small step where you say, I don't want to live my life for me anymore. I want to live my life for Jesus. So I'm going to give you one more opportunity. If that's you this morning, will you lift your hand real quickly so I can pray with you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then I want to ask one more question to all of us here this morning, just still with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I don't want this to be a casual response. Don't respond this way because it's the right thing to do. But I wonder if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, in a lot of ways I'm paying attention, but I just sense that in a lot of ways I'm not. I look back at this last year and I realize there's a whole lot that God wanted to do in my life that maybe I missed or I didn't connect with or I didn't embrace or maybe I just didn't realize. But I'm determining this morning that from here forward, I'm going to do my best to pay attention. I want to see what God's showing me. I want to hear what He says. I want to obey Him and follow Him. I want to be ready, not just for Christmas. I want to be ready for life. And I determined this morning to pay attention. Would you just lift your hand real quickly this morning? I determined to pay attention. Yes, hands going all across this congregation. Lord, I determined I'm going to pay attention this morning. I want to hear what God's saying. I want to see what God's doing. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray this morning. I pray this morning, Lord, for those that have lifted their hands, Lord. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that You will come right now this morning. Lord, that You will speak into their hearts and into their lives. And Lord, I thank You that they will be keenly aware, that their ears will be sensitive. Their eyes will be keen. Their hearts, Lord, will be tuned in. And when You show up, they'll recognize it and realize it and know it, Lord, and pay attention and follow You and do that which You call and commission them to do. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for it this morning. I pray that this morning, God, that all through this congregation, You'd allow this message that I've preached, that Your Holy Spirit has shared, to cause us to pay attention. And to expect, Lord, that indeed You are going to show up. We praise You and we thank You for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hadn't it been good to be in God's house this morning? I promise you something this morning. If you'll pay attention, you'll realize God is showing up regularly and often. And He wants to do something mighty, mighty in your life.